peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
There is a fundamental principle in life. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap trouble and heartache in your life. Today on The Level, Pastor Poncho will offer as an example from the Bible that we all need to avoid and stay far away from the life of David. Christians can easily fall into this without even realizing, and that's depending on worldly resources and the human thinking of the world rather than trusting in God and his faithfulness to his promises and his word. Our text for this lesson today on The Level will be located in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, and we'll consider chapters 19 and 20 and draw application from the life of David as Pastor Poncho will teach us, coming up next on this edition of On The Level Radio.
Peace in the middle of the storm. It's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
Now with today's program, here's Pastor Poncho.
Is that David writes his emotions. He wrote Psalm 59 in this episode of his time. Listen to how he writes verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 59. Rescue me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting, Lord. Though I have not sinned or offended them, I have done nothing wrong, yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up, see what is happening to me and help me. O Lord God of heaven's army, the God of Israel, wake up and punish these hostile nations. Show no mercy to these wicked traitors. And the whole psalm, it isn't until the end, he goes, but for me, I will trust in the Lord. But yet, he expresses his fear, his apprehension. He expresses his sadness, his incompleteness. You can see the quagmire. It's an English word. Quagmire means in the mud. How can God call me? God selected me. He chose me. He anointed me. He made me the king of Israel. And why am I going through all this hassle? And that's a question that some of us ask this morning. Why? How long? Why? And yet, we continue with our lives as Christians, but it seems like we're not there yet. I want to let you know that, like David, when you read Psalm 59, read the last three verses. He says, there are my enemies. They're for real. It's not a figment of my imagination. They hate me for no reason. I've done no sin. They just hate me. God, go after them. But for me, I will praise you. And that is the attitude to take. But at this point in time, he wants answers right now. He's asking, look at, your father's after me. I am but one step away from dying. And then he says, Jonathan, verse 4. And Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. Notice the offering of humility, the son of a king, telling the next king of Israel, whatever you desire, I will do it for you. And David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon. It was a Jewish festival, something like every month, a Thanksgiving day. And so it was a festival time. And he says, tomorrow is the new moon festival, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day of the festival at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say to him, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. That's a lie. If he says thus, okay, it is well, and then your servant will be safe. But if he goes crazy He goes angry. Be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, David says, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? But Jonathan said, far be from you, or God forbid. For if I knew for certain that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you? Then David said to Jonathan, who will tell me? Or what if your father answered you roughly? And Jonathan said to him, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. So you see a little mistrust. David loves Jonathan, but he says, who will tell me the truth? I mean, who will? So David says, look, it's not safe here. Let's go to the field. We need to hide. So they go to the field. Then Jonathan said to David, verse 12, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father, I'm going to feel him out sometime tomorrow or the third day. And indeed, there is good towards David. And I do not send to you and tell you. This is what I pray. May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And notice what he says. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. You notice what he says? Past tense. But may the Lord be with you as he was with my father. You see, Jonathan realized and recognized and acknowledged that the Spirit of God was no longer activated in the life of his father. And he says, I make a covenant with you before the God of Israel. If my father intends to kill you, I will tell you. If he doesn't want to kill you, I also will tell you. I make an oath with you. And so there you see the fidelity of this man. So God, you see there he begins to lie. He says, tell him that I'm not there because my brother called me to go celebrate a family obligation. That's a lie. And Jonathan is going to lie. But they're going to do this to test out the realness, because Jonathan is not convinced really that his father really aims to hurt David. So they go to the field, and there in verse 14, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live that I may not die, but you should not cut off or kill off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So here, what we see here is Jonathan seeing into the future. He wants to make a covenant between your people and my people. David has no children yet. Jonathan has no children yet. And yet Jonathan says, listen, when you become king, because the way of the ancient world, when a new king came on board, the activity of the new king was to kill all the previous king's relatives, cousins, aunts, uncles, godfathers, anyone who was related to the deposed king, they were killed. So Jonathan says, please make a pact with me. Take care of my children, and I'll take care of your children either way, and it will be a bond forever. And it's a beautiful story. Later on, when we get to 2 Samuel chapter, I think, 7, there you see the adult child of Jonathan. And the adult child was named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was crippled. And as David men were killing all of Saul's people, when he came to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth went in there, bowed down to the king, and David said, what is your name? He said, Mephibosheth, my daddy was Jonathan. Oh, and David says, get up. I made a promise to your daddy. You're part of my life. You're going to eat at my table. Just as I promised your dad, I'll take care of you. Beautiful story of commitment and loyalty. And Jonathan saw all this. You see, he had a love for him. It's wonderful to have friends like this man that can tell you the truth. Friends tell you the truth. I mean, the Bible says that the faithful are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. You have an enemy that lies to you. They're people that hate you out of nowhere. If you don't like being criticized, Stay away from any position of authority, management, a pastor. Get away from it, because you're going to be criticized left or right. Oh, you put the air. I love you. Because people are knocking out, brother. They're doing a Muhammad Ali right here. Thank you. So, there's a gentleman by the name of K. Nigel. Back in 2013, he says, the 15 reasons why people hate you for no reason. Because you have something that they don't. Two, because they think you don't deserve what you have. Three, because they don't want to lose to you. They see life as a kind of competition. Who's more popular? Who's richer? Who has no more friends? Who has more dates? So they don't want to lose to you at anything. Four, why people hate you for no reason? Because they can't get over the past. Maybe you two had a thing in the past. Perhaps you were close friends, but unfortunately fell out. I have a friend. I told you about my friend. He's not my friend. They're my friend. I don't mind if he's my friend. He doesn't want to be my friend. We both went into the military. He just flaked out in boot camp. Never made it. He ranked out. Ow! He ranked out. Ranker? Ranked out. Ranker? And he left me alone. Buddy, buddy, please left me alone. Ranker? And he's recorded. Ranker? See, I haven't forgot already. Man, I haven't forgot that. Well, he refused to speak to me afterwards, and every time he sees me, I'm reminded of his failure. That's his bad, not mine. Five, because they can't get over you. You were important to this person, and you broke their heart, whatever, they hate you. Number six, because they have nothing better to do in life. We should take pity on them, the author says. Really, take pity on them, because of them, besides surfing 5 hours a day, stalking other people's Facebook and Twitter pages, and posting hateful comments on blogs and YouTube, they really don't have much else to spend their time and energy on. Number seven, because their life just ain't as great, as exciting as yours. It's true. Number eight, because they need attention. Number nine, because they can. Because anonymity allows them to spew nonsense without taking responsibility for it, because it's convenient, as easy, as cowardice, as they do it, their finest behind a laptop. Because, number 10, because they're bigots. It's not you, it's them. Number 11, because they're such self-righteous moral high priests, no matter, they will always think of themselves better person than you. Number 12, because they are big green eye monsters. They're jealous people. This is the problem with King Saul. He is jealous. They curse and wish for your downfall because they want you to lose to the things they have that they don't. They see life as a zero-sum game. They think perhaps if you lose a couple of friends, fans, they could gain themselves. And if they can have the things you have, they'd rather you not have them as well, because they are basically blank, 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 blank human beings. Number 13, because they are unhappy with some things in their own lives. Number 14. Because they need to put someone down to feel good about themselves. And number 15, because they are, in general, just losers. Don't think that when you go to work tomorrow, don't act like Sally Field. Everybody loves me. Everybody loves me. I have news for you. They do not. Like I shared earlier, some people, they think you look like a thug. Some people don't like the way your fragrance smells. Some people just don't like the way you talk. Period. And there's some people that hate my accent. People told me that. You say, you're a poser, man. You put that accent on, you know. I said, brother, for the last 30 years of my life, I've been praying that the Lord will take away my accent. I was with my daughter in Czech Republic. Czech Republic, formerly Czechoslovakia. And I'm there, and there are South American people working out there. South American. And we look like each other. We know we're not Europeans. And the guy asked me in Spanish, ¿Dónde eres? In Czechoslovakia, in Czech Republic, in Spanish, where are you from? I said, what up? Why? No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I just went like, what? What up? What? No, I'm sorry. Sorry. So sorry. I said, de los Estados Unidos, United States. Ah, el este de Los Ángeles, huh? He said, ah, East LA, huh? Oh, yeah, where am I at? Am I in Europe? And I said, and I already knew the answer. I said, ¿cómo sabes? I watch the news, eh? And I have an accent. So for someone to say you're a poser because you have an East LA accent when you're really not, what do I do with that criticism? Should I say, oh, please, please, don't write anything. You're right, I don't have an accent. You're right. There's nothing you can do. There are people, they're not going to like you, period. They're not going to like you. Get over it. And if you're on Facebook and you're on, if you, listen, get away from it. People will talk trash. People that used to be from here are the worst ones. They go out there, they're like, oh yeah, I don't go over there no more. Why? Well, pray for them, okay? Especially pray for Pancho, okay? What happened? Well, just pray for him. And I've always told you this. Don't ever defend me. God is my defender. Always. God is my defender. You don't think that God loves you? You know, don't you think God loves you? That if I hurt you, what's your name? Naomi. Naomi, don't you know me, homie? No. Naomi. You believe in God? You believe that God loves you? Naomi, if I hurt you as a pastor, you don't think that I'm going to pay a price? I'm going to pay a price because I hurt his sheep. I'm going to pay for it. So if I hurt sheep, don't you think that God will do something to me? Know that. I stand here before you. People criticize me. I'm still here. 24 years later, I'm still here. 24 years later. Thank you, Naomi. Forgive me. But people that talk and talk, David just had it. So they're going to put him on a test. Let me go real fast now. So, where are we at? I'm just testing you. No, we did 14. And we did 15. With 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require at the hands of enemies of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow, and because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is a new moon and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain by the stone Ezel, which is mentioned in chapter 19, verse 2. But now we know the place. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I'm shooting a target practice. And there I will send you a young kid, a lad, saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the kid, look, the arrows are on this side of the rock, then get them and come. Then as the Lord lives, that's the sign for you. There is safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you, or beyond the stone. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. So that's the sign. If the arrows come before you, you're safe. If the arrows go past you, you're done. And verse 23. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord is between you and me forever. And that is in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 20. Then David hid in the field. And when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on the seat at the other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner, this general, by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he was thinking, something has happened to David. Perhaps he's ceremonially unclean. Surely he is ceremonially unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was still empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat? Either yesterday or today. You know it is not the name David, but you see, he just used another name. I don't know what your mother or your father, when they're mad at you, I don't know what they use. But for me, it's my full name, Alejandro. I have a family nickname, I have a mommy name that I have. Mommy, your mommy has a name for each of the children. And I had one. I won't tell you what it is because it belongs to my mama only. It does not belong to my wife or my children. It's my mama. But when my mom will say, Alejandro, that was it. It's over, Rover. Or when police officers or border control or customs, when they call my name, Alejandro, or and the doctor's office, that's serious stuff. Here he says, not David, where's the son of Jesse? So David asked him, why has not the son of Jesse come and eat? So Jonathan answers Saul. Here's a lie. Oh, David earnestly asked permission for me to let him go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Uh-oh. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Whoa. That's exactly, this is worse than what we think. He is calling his mother a prostitute in public, in front of all the dignitaries, in front of all his officers, in front of the whole priestly and kingly court, in front of all the public. He makes a scene. Where's David? What do you mean? I can't even say it. You son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said, why? Why should he be killed? What he has done? Then Saul cast a spear at his own son to kill him. By which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. Duh. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month. For he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went into the field at the time appointed with David. And a little lad was with him. Then he said to the lad, now run, find the arrows which I shoot. As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond the rock. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, it is the arrow beyond you. And Jonathan cried out after the lad, make haste, hurry, do not delay. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the young kid and said to him, go, carry them to the city. As soon as the little boy had gone, notice that David breaks secrecy. He arose from the hiding place towards the south, fell on his face to the ground, which is a signal of humility, and bowed down three times, which is a significance that the Lord goes down before a mightier. And David, though he's the next king of Israel, he humbles himself. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we both have sworn in the name of Jehovah, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and between your children and my children forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city, never to go back to Gibeah. Now he's on the run. So chapters 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. For 7 years, David is going to be on the run. But all this time, God is shaping, he's shaping and chiseling what God wants to do with David, just as he's doing with us.
Today, Pastor Pancho has been teaching us part 3 of the Saga of Kings, and today we've been looking at 1 Samuel chapters 19 and 20. There's still much more to learn about the life of David, which we'll reserve on our next program of On the Level. I hope you can join us then. Now, to listen to this teaching again, you can simply subscribe to our podcast via iTunes by simply going to our official website, thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. Locate the page that's labeled Listen Watch Page, and you'll find the links that will direct you to our podcast. Simply go to our official website at thearkmontebello.com. Also, to stay up to date while you go, you can simply grab our app, the ARK app, available on your phone and tablet. You can find it at iTunes App Store, Google Play, Amazon App Store, and also download directly from the Roku Channel Store. All this can be found on our website at thearcmontebello.com. And then make it a point to join us for another edition of On the Level Radio with Pastor Pacha Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. 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 It's gonna be alright.
Today's program is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.